contents discussed in the show could lead to ear infection. Please listen with caution. You're listening to Mad About Football.
Shampoos a lot. Several mornings she shampoos my locks. Always have my back, she stand true to that.
All right, those are the sounds of Junior Gong, Mr. Damian Marley, right here on Mad About Football. George Metellus, Mike Lopez, Juan Arango, Kevin Walker, and Jonathan Starling. I mean, we got everybody here tonight. It's
We got Special K, we got the blogging badass, and we just had El Presidente. I mean, what else do we want? You know what I'm saying? So,
we'll save that for another show.
Anyway, that's usually for the late night version of the show.
Was that your white guy impression?
Huh? No.
Was that your?
No, I wasn't. Uh-huh. This is my white guy imitation. Come on.
No, I own that. I own that.
Soccer.
Isn't that soccer?
Right? Soccer. That's for immigrants. Ooh, excuse
that's
me.
That's just baseball with a larger ball.
Welcome to Stereotype.
Oh, there we go. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so we finished talking about Spain a little bit. Now we want to talk a little bit about Serie A. Inter won the title. And, okay, man. All right, you gonna start ragging on me now or what? What's going on with this, man? Okay, I'm a little bit nervous, you know?
Why is that, Juan?
I don't know. I don't have my cigar. Jonathan didn't send me cigars, dude. Or cigarettes or whatever.
But for Inter winning the title?
Yeah, man. Or whatever, I don't know.
That's, what, four in a row? The last four? But this is, like, the first one that they really earned it?
Yeah, they actually had competition in this time around. But, Kevin, give us a quick... I mean, give us your impressions. I mean, you know, you're with Serie A Weekly and stuff. Give us your impressions as far as the whole season. I mean, put in a nutshell.
Well, Inter had a good start to the season. They got out of the gates early. And their chief rivals, AC Milan, didn't. And Juventus is in this eternal grudge match with Inter, who they see as the usurpers of the modern-day crown. Mm-hmm. So they just didn't have their act together. And another club definitely that didn't have their act together was Roma, who had just a terrible start. And I actually didn't think they would rise up the table as far as they have. They're fighting for that final European spot right now. It looks pretty good. Like they probably will hold on to sixth place now. But there was huge hope really for Roma to actually challenge. So I don't know if it's so much that Inter was that they are better. Obviously, they won the Scudetto. It didn't go down to the last day of the year. But again, when you reflect back on the beginning half of the season, I think it's really that the competition had fallen short early on, and it was always catch up with Inter, and Inter had that extra lead that was always there for them to work with. Mm-hmm. When they had a bad spell. So we'll see. Again, Mourinho, personally, I really had hoped that we would have seen something entirely different happen, and it would be definitely more to talk about if, let's say, Mourinho did not only get them through in Champions League, but all of a sudden failed to win the Scudetto. That would have been, especially after getting rid of Mancini. You got to remember that Mancini was still on the payroll with Inter last time I checked, so they're still paying him. And imagine if Mourinho hadn't have won the Scudetto. It would have looked very, very bad for the ownership and for Moriarty. They bring him in. He's great expectations of winning Champions League. Okay, they don't do that. But now it looks like, yeah, Mourinho's, he's got the Scudetto, so now he can say that I won, and I'm, you know, the greatest coach in the world. I've won here and I've won there. And so he can still run with that.
Horrible, and everybody sucks here in Italy.
Yeah, and all of you people interviewing me, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. But, you know, the
champion.
Be champions, that's right. Be champions.
Be champions.
And of course, I am the special one. So,
what's the difference between this year's Inter? I'm sorry, George. Were you going to say something?
No, I was going to say when you were talking about Mourinho and Inter, I got the sense that winning the Scudetto is great, and now they're tied with AC Milan for like the second most in the history. Uh, I, I still think Inter is about 2 years away with Mourinho of being a serious contender for the Champions League. And I think that's what they hired him for. They hired him for the Champions League. They could win the Scudetto pretty much in their sleep. And there were a couple games where you could tell they were sleeping out there. And they still wound up winning the Scudetto. So I'm waiting to see what happens next year and the year after with the transfer policies so that we can see an Italian team back or at least enter as a serious competitor for Champions League. Because I think that's why they really want him for the Champions League.
Here's the thing, George. You know, you mentioned, for instance, transfers and stuff. I didn't mean to slag them off early on when I was saying that maybe they weren't the greatest and their competition was just sloppy, because in truth, they've got a lot of horses in the stable. You know, and Mourinho, he came into a squad that was fully equipped. When you look at the people that they sent out on loan, like David Suazo, and he went to Portugal with Benfica, I believe. The Quaresma was the biggest flop of the season. Let's face that. But there were great expectations with him. He's out on loan at Chelsea. They also have rights to Roberto Acquafresca, who's had a pretty good season, I believe, at Cagliari. And so you know, there are these players, and there's one or two that I should know right now off the top of my head, and I can't mention his name, but these are people that they didn't have room for them in the squad, and they sent them elsewhere. Some of those names are going to return. Ibrahimovic, it's sounding like he might be making a move elsewhere. But then there's also some new blood that Inter's already, two of the teams in Serie A that you hear movement on. I mean, there's so much action, really, and the season isn't even over. But the two clubs that are already making moves are the Scudetto winners, Inter, and also Juventus. So I've heard, for instance, that Diego Milito could end up with his teammate, Thiago Motta, both going to Inter. And also there were trade rumors with Quagliarella from Udinese, but it sounds like he's going to break up his strike partnership with Di Natale, and Juventus might end up having him. So, but again, Inter's going to bring in some new blood. They've got that amazing midfield that's really not going to get too I think they're going to hold on to Muntari, which is good. Cambiasso will be staying on. And as you guys know, my man, Mr. Figo, he's retiring. So a couple greats in Serie A are retiring. One of them happens to be Luis Figo. I'm going to sadly miss seeing that man on the pitch.
We're going to be sad to see his wife not in the stands. Let's forget him.
For real.
No, but you know what? Juventus, I think, has been real. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You can still catch her in her swimsuit photo shoots.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. I'll try and get a job in a couple of those. But, I mean, Juventus, the transfer that I'm hearing that sounds probably the best for Juventus is probably Diego from Werder Bremen.
Yeah, but that's been hanging. You know what? That's been hanging in the air for a while now.
But that's the player that they need. They need a player in the midfield. I mean, you have, Pavel Nedved, who's 77 years old, and who else?
Well, he's gone. He's retired. He's retired. Yeah, Quinta actually is also going out of the top four, that, you know, the forwards that they have, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Del Piero, which is he's in his mid-30s, but still he's like Mr. Juventus. They haven't actually offered him a contract. You mentioned the midfield. There's been also talk about bringing David Silva from Valencia. I already mentioned they're making the move for Quagliarella, so they're hoping to scoop him away from, you know, any chance of him ending up at Inter. So forward again, not in the midfield. But, yeah, they do have to strengthen that midfield. And for some weird reason, they've decided to make an offer to Fabio Cannavaro, which, you know, some of the fans, some of the ultras there are already not liking that picture, because, again, he was one of the people when there was a Calciopoli scandal, the betting scandal in Italy, and Juventus went down. He was one of the players bolted, jumped ship. Yeah, he bolted. Yeah. Ibrahimovic bolted, and
Vieira.
And he bolted, and Vieira, and also Zimbrata, who a lot of people who were following Barca.
Yeah,
he bolted.
Right. Yeah, Emerson as well. So,
and now all of a sudden they've offered him to come back. That just that doesn't seem Juve, because I think when a lot of those players left, there was the bad blood of them leaving. They had Buffon and Del Piero, who were dedicated to the club and stayed on, and yet now Del Piero is getting shafted, and they're not offering him, as far as I know, a contract yet. So it's going to be there's going to be definite changes there. You guys already know that Ranieri's gone. He's been given the boot.
And by the way, who do you see as a coach there? Speaking of that, who do you see as a coach?
I'd like to see. I really like Spalletti. So if it's true that he gets the boot at Roma, I'd like to see him quickly be grabbed up by another club. And there's nowhere better to go than to Juventus for him. So, you know, that is looking more and more like a definite possibility. That they'll make the move for him, give him, you know, make him an offer. But right now they still have to finish up with it's going to be messy right now, because the reports coming out of Italy are Ranieri's going to sue Juventus. He's been signed with them until the end of next season, I believe, and there's money involved. So a record's being broken there as well. Ranieri's the first manager at Juventus in
40 years,
okay. Yeah, to be let go before the end of the season.
Wow.
So, I mean, Juve has a history of being a team that, I mean, they really don't pull the trigger, I mean, for good or for bad with coaches. They pretty much ride them out until the end of the season. They wait for the off season to make the decision, then they do the coaching change.
I think they're regretting letting Didier Deschamps go.
Well, they didn't let him go. He all of a sudden left. He helped them get out of Serie B, and then all of a sudden said, "I'm gone." Now, I think the internal goings on there was that there was maybe too much. He didn't have as much control as he wanted with the club, and he decided to go. But he left on his own accord.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he wanted the same control that he wanted, like a team like Monaco or something like that.
Right.
So,
but maybe they should have gave it to him. maybe.
It's not something that you really get in one of those top tier Italian teams. You're not going to get full control, unless you're somebody maybe even as close as Ancelotti.
Right.
And he didn't even have that because he had other people on top of him hocking him over.
Right.
But I'm being devil's advocate here. As far as the national team's concerned, they go this summer to the Confederations Cup, and by some chance they flop. Do you start seeing Marcello Lippi's job in trouble, or do you see him still running on that whole 2006 World Cup title thing? What I'm trying to go at is, let's say his job ends up being in trouble, and for some reason they sack him. Would Juventus start looking at a coach like him?
Well, first of all, you got to find that manager that wants to move to that level. I mean, Capello's already with England, so that's not an option. Mm-hmm. A lot of these other, Ancelotti's going to be picked up real quick, like we already know. And mm-hmm. I just mentioned Spalletti. If he's out of a job, he won't be somebody I don't think they would look to coach the national side. So he'd be picked up more likely by another club, and that would be fine.
Napoli's not going to have to be worried about getting
Donadoni. No. And even if he was out, I wouldn't have seen a quick return for him to the national side, Donadoni. So,
no.
There's really nobody else at this, as far as I can see right now, that they'd want to switch with. I think Lippi's been given the mandate to carry them through till at least after the next World Cup, and so he is the man. And if they fail in the Federations Cup this summer, and something happens, they get knocked out, they don't make it to the final, let's say, even. I don't think that's the real focus. The real focus is the next World Cup, because there's always this competition between Europe and South America. And of course, Brazil has the most World Cups and the most wins, and Italy's trailing, and they're trying to get back even so that they can say, yeah, we are the best. So the focus is 2010.
Let me ask you, Kevin, real quick. Let's jump back to Serie A real quick. All the reports, Ancelotti and Milan are not going to be together anymore. before we went on the air, we were talking about who could replace him. You know, a couple of ex-Milan players came up, either Van Basten, Rijkaard. You know, even, and you mentioned you like Spalletti, maybe Spalletti might go there. Who do you see as the next Milan coach if, in fact, Ancelotti, if the split really does happen? Because I'm the kind of person, I don't, until it, I see it happen, I don't believe it because rumors are all over the place. But if it happens, who do you see as the next Milan coach, or who do you think should be the next Milan coach?
Funny enough, again, there's talk in some of the Italian papers of maybe Scolari making his way there and being, you got to remember there's that whole Brazilian connection that's already in Milan. I mean, Argentinian players are at Inter across town, and you've got the Brazilian, you know, squad or crew at Milan with Kaká, Ronaldinho. Ronaldinho, we've already talked, he probably won't be there much longer, but young Alexandre Pateau, Dida doesn't get as much playtime anymore, but, and you know, and so on. They do have that Brazil contingent, and who would be better than a Brazilian to coach them? So perhaps Luis Felipe Scolari will be targeted. I don't think he'll be the best choice. We saw what happened with him when he was at Chelsea this year, but he'll be able to, you know, coach alongside Leonardino.
Yeah, but here's the thing though with a coach like Scolari, and here's one of the reasons why he failed at Chelsea. He comes with that South American personality of fire and brimstone and trying to rile up his troops and trying to use this and getting in their face. And at a team like Milan, as professional players are there, the Paolo Maldinis, the Gennaro Gattuso's, the Inzaghi's.
Pirlos.
The Pirlos, exactly. Those type of players, you don't have to do that. When a player is established as Maldini is, you have a coach come up and he gets in his face. It's not a, you know, good things aren't bound to happen. When a David Beckham Beckham when he comes back in November, has a coach like Scolari getting back in his face, there's always going to be a backlash.
I think, you know what, I think the great thing about AC Milan is it's one of these clubs where you can go there as a player and possibly as a manager and reinvent yourself. When you look at the longevity of the players that are there, you mentioned David Beckham, for instance, he's gone there. What a different person. Different than what we saw when he was in MLS,
well,
that's for
come
sure.
Come on, dude, you're comparing two different creatures there.
Well, I am. I'm comparing players to the manager. But another example, which might be a poor example, is Pippo Inzaghi. You know, people were ready to write him off, and he's somebody again, another player that's got like I think at least two hat tricks this year, and he's challenging young Pateau for the goal title at least at Milan this year, and possibly, you know, who knows, maybe in the last two games some miracle happened, but he's up there on the scoring chart. I think he's got 15 goals now or something like that. So these are people that have gone there. Older players, older teammates, and they've gone there. They've reinvented themselves. Who's to say that Scolari might not try something new if he does end up there?
You talk about the players reinventing themselves. So how come players like Ronaldinho can't reinvent themselves?
Well, that's a different story. You know, you got a family atmosphere at Milan, and he's definitely not into family. So
he's into family, but in another kind of
he's into everyone's family. Your mama.
Hey, man, my mama has nothing to do with Ronaldinho, man. She don't like buck teeth.
Oh.
All right.
And sandals?
Damn.
She don't like buck teeth. I know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean.
He wants to get that red eye back to, you know, back to Brazil and party it up with the boys.
Well, they were talking about that all season. They were talking about that he was flying back and forth from Barcelona to Milan because he missed the nightlife of Barcelona and also the nightlife in Brazil. He was taking flights all over the place because of that, because Milan didn't really offer that per se.
Yeah, it didn't do it for him. I mean, back in Spain, he definitely, that was more to his liking, but, you know, he made the move because it was the career move. He had to get it. He had to go. Nobody else wanted him there. He's gone. Barca was saying bye-bye, go now or, you know, whatever. And it looks like You know, the thing is we were also talking with Mando at the break, and Mando made it clear there is money on him, and Berlusconi doesn't want to. The thing is like I said before, the longevity of players, for instance, at Milan, a lot of the times things do work out, but there are situations where they don't work out. For example, Ronaldo, they went through trouble with him, you know, with both of those knee injuries, and then that was it after that, right? He had his additional injury, and it was like, well, you know, we can't wait for you to get better anymore. We tried, we can't. So I think they might end up repeating the same thing with Ronaldinho. I mean, his stamina, I don't know exactly everything that's going on with him, but I mean, obviously he didn't play as much as a lot of people expected. Why didn't he play? Was it because of nagging injuries? Was it because he's lost something? Was it because of just his total stamina wasn't good enough for this level of play? Remains to be seen. But if they give him any more chances, you know, he's got to come out of the gates pretty quick next year. And if not, you know, by January, he's gone. So
Ronaldinho has the same affliction, I guess you want to call it, that Adriano has. And that is, he's a party boy, and no place parties hard as Brazil, pretty much. So he's going to have to go back to Brazil. He still wants to play football, but it's not as serious as, you know, it's not as serious to him to the point where he can be a major player in Europe. So I think he's going to wind up this. I think next year he's going to be playing in Brazil because it's his speed. He can go out and party and have the wild Brazilian life, nightlife. And then, you know, I'm not saying he's going to half-ass football in Brazil, but he won't have to be as committed to football in Brazil for whatever club that then he won't have to be as committed than if he was in Europe playing for, you know, one of these top three teams in one of these top leagues. I think that's the fate of Ronaldinho.
It wouldn't surprise me at all, because now it seems like it's this little trend now where these Brazilian stars that were, you know, a season ago or two seasons ago were tearing it up in Europe are all of a sudden now, like, yeah, you know what? They're all going back to Brazil in the case of Adriano and Ronaldo. So that wouldn't be a surprise to me at all.
No, I think George, I'd have to agree with you on that. He's tried Milan, and it could be a situation where actually he himself goes to management and says, this is not working out for me. You know, there's interest in my home, and I want to go back there.
Yeah, I don't see him either going to a town like Manchester. I mean, he would, his best solution would be to go back home. But I mean, what then happens to his international career?
Well, that's the thing, you see. That's another issue altogether again, because if Ancelotti's gone and Berlusconi is in his corner and they do bring in somebody like Scolari or somebody else and they give Ronaldinho more of a run out, then he really has to make the most of it, because he, you know, to get on that squad, he's got to be playing regularly, just like Beckham made the move to Milan to do just that. So if he's not, then and let's say it's another issue, it's something besides his ability to perform, then he's going to get angry and he's going to get upset and he's going to want to go somewhere where he can be playing in that starting 11.
I guess as far as Milan's concerned, yeah. But I mean, I'm talking about, you know, if Dunga doesn't see him playing and he's playing, I don't know, at a Flamengo, for example, or what George mentioned earlier, Sao Paulo or something. I mean, is he going to be taken into consideration, or are you going to start seeing a guy like, I don't know, as a forward, a guy like Grafici. Diego or Grafici actually taking over for him? I mean, definitely, without a doubt, Grafici should be getting a call up from Dunga as well, definitely.
But it's one of those situations where, but you know what, though? His name still has enough pull where if he goes to Sao Paulo and plays for Sao Paulo and he tears it up, okay, his name has enough pull where Dunga might say, okay, let's give this guy another call-up. You know, because ultimately in Brazil, especially with the Seleção, it's performance is important, but the name is is almost as important. Probably is equally as important.
Remember,
but he's tearing it up in Sao Paulo or Flamengo or, you know, Grêmio or wherever, and he's doing really well. And he is still Ronaldinho. They might give him that might be enough to give him a call up.
Remember, and we remember we talked to Roberto de Souza, and he would always tell us that Dunga's not the one making the call ups. It's some, you know, Nike has a lot to do with that. Roberto Teixeira has a lot to do with that, and Dunga has some say as far as, you know, Ronaldinho playing in the national team. So I mean, there's a lot of different factors as well. But when you start seeing those call ups, and you see 99% of the players are playing in Europe, you know, I don't see, you know, his chances, you know, of being on the national team all that better if he ends up going to South America in the long run. But we'll see. But anyways. Hey, it was good to talk about Serie A. And speaking of call-ups and national teams in Brazil, we'll be right back, and we're going to wrap up the show talking about South of the Border, baby. We'll be right back.